Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRE digital mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the main point. Full use of 40% biodiesel blended fuel in Indonesia will take effect in February. People's Consultative Assembly appreciates Constitutional Court's decision to abolish presidential threshold to improve quality of democracy. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, Yulio Tanjung, has conveyed that the full use of 40% biodiesel blended fuel or B40 will take effect in February 2025. Yulio further said in Jakarta on Friday that the B40 mandate has been in effect since January the 1st, but the use is still in a transition period of about 1.5 months. He has also explained that during the transition period, it will deplete stocks and also adjust to technology. Furthermore, the production of the first phase of the 40% B40 reached 15.6 million kiloliters, which will be carried out gradually until the end of the year. Previously, the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources had targeted a regulation related to the 40% biodiesel blended fuel program to be completed this week. According to him, this step is in line with President Prabowo Subianto's Asta Cita, which sets food and energy security as national priorities. Deputy Chairman of the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly, Hidayat Nur Wahid, appreciates and supports the decision of the Constitutional Court, which abolishes the presidential nomination threshold. Although it is late, it is to improve the quality of democracy, Hidayat Nur Wahid said in his statement in Jakarta Friday. He explained, besides being in accordance with the aspirations and expectation of the wider community, it is also in line with the constitution, which opens hope for the presence of a more democratic presidential election with more qualified presidential and vice presidential candidates. He stated that the Constitutional Court, with the latest decision to remove the presidential threshold with constitutional arguments, can improve not only the quality of democracy but also election results. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Community Empowerment, Muhaimin Iskandar, pointed out that the government is preparing savings and loan funding with a total of 20 trillion rupiahs for the micro, small and medium enterprises, creative economy players and migrant workers. After attending a limited meeting chaired by President Prabowo Subianto at the Bogor Presidential Palace, West Java on Friday, Muhaimin Iskandar explained that the funding aims to increase accessibility to capital and provide financial convenience from micro, small and medium enterprises players, cooperatives, creative economy players, and migrant workers. He added that the government will also create a special loan program for Indonesian migrant workers, especially for those who need capital for training, flight departure tickets, and administrative matters. The Indonesian Navy will host a joint exercise for humanitarian operations of the 5th Multilateral Naval Exercise Komodo in Bali from February the 15th to 22nd, which will be attended by 21 warships from various countries in the Asia Pacific and 17 warships of Indonesia. Chief of Staff of the Indonesian Navy Admiral Muhammad Ali during a press conference at Wisma Langlau, Jakarta on Friday explained that multilateral naval exercise Komodo is a non-combatant exercise that is routinely held every 2 years since 2014 by the Indonesian Navy and aims to build interoperability between naval forces, especially in disaster management operations and other humanitarian operations. Admiral Muhammad Ali also explained that countries that send their warships, including Australia, France, India, Japan, Malaysia, Russia, the United States, and China. Surabaya City in East Java received a letter of recognition for its inclusion in the Healthy City Network, accredited by the World Health Organization Southeast Asia Regional Office, or WHO-CRO, escorted by Antara. Surabaya Mayor Edi Cahyadi announced on Friday that the recognition signified Surabaya's official membership in the Healthy City Network and its accreditation as a WHO-CRO Healthy City. According to the mayor, this is part of the efforts to create a healthy city in which every citizen has better access to health services, a clean and comfortable environment, and strong community-based social support. The Indonesian government is preparing to implement the mandatory 50% biodiesel or B50 program in 2026 to stop diesel imports. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Bahlil Lahadalia said as part of the energy transition program, the government will start implementing the mandatory B40 this year while preparing for the implementation of B50 next year with the aim of reducing dependence on diesel imports. According to Lahadalia, on Friday, the B50 program aligns with President Prabowo Subianto's directive to achieve energy security. He expressed optimism that the implementation of B50 would increase Indonesia's energy reserves and support the goal of increasing its ability to meet domestic energy needs. Indonesian Minister of Higher Education, Science and Technology, Satrio Sumantri Brojonegoro, emphasized that higher education must positively impact national development while its policies must support the ESTA Cita or 8 missions launched by the government to tackle current and future challenges. According to Brojonegoro on Friday, the ministry aims to optimize science and technology use through improved higher education policies. He also noted that the ministry is working to achieve the second mission of ESTA Cita, focusing on strengthening defense and security systems while fostering national independence. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
The first item in the news from across Indonesia comes from Mataram City, West Nusa Tenggara. The West Nusa Tenggara State Museum sent 8 collections of historical objects to participate in the International Islamic Arts Biennial Exhibition held in the Hajj Terminal area of King Abdul Aziz International Airport in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Head of the museum, Ahmad Nur Alam, in Mataram Thursday, said the international exhibition, organized by the Diriyah Biennial Foundation and sponsored by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, was held for 4 months, from January the 25th to May the 25th, 2025. Themed The Art of Number, it is one of the world's largest exhibitions that showcases the richness and diversity of Islamic culture through institutions from various countries. Indonesia was selected as the representative of Southeast Asia to take part with 20 other countries. Indonesia's participation in the Islamic Arts Biennial exhibition was represented by 3 museums, namely the West Nusa Tenggara Museum in Mataram City, the Sono Budoyo Museum in Yogyakarta, and the National Library in Jakarta. The West Nusa Tenggara Museum exhibited 8 artifacts in the exhibition, including keris, cipok cila, a typical headscarf of Sumbawa women, the Tajul Muluk book to beetle eating utensils, which are the heritage of the Sasak, Samawa, and Bojo. The next news comes from Bengkulu City, Bengkulu Province. The Bengkulu City Government, Bengkulu Province, inaugurated the Kuto Tua tourist attraction located in Pasar Bengkulu Village after being revitalized by the Regional Development Settlement Center of the Ministry of Public Works and Special Planning. Acting Mayor of Bengkulu, Arif Gunadi, in Bengkulu Tuesday, hopes that Kuto Tua can be visited by tourists both local and from outside Bengkulu City. Head of the Public Works and Special Planning Agency of Bengkulu City, Nurisman, explained that the inauguration was carried out in order to become one of the tourist destinations during the holiday season. Kota Tuo, or the Old Town Bengkulu, is a historical area. It has many historical and archaeological remains in the form of fort sites, bunkers, mosque buildings, and old houses, cemetery complexes, and locations that are estimated to be the center of the Sungai Serut Kingdom in the past. The last item in the news from across Indonesia comes from Padang City, West Sumatra. Chinese ethnic groups who are members of the Himpunan Bersatu Community Teguh or HBT Padang City, West Sumatra continues to maintain and preserve ancestral traditions, one of which is the Sipasan Parade for students. Deputy Chairperson 1 of the Pekanbaru HBT branch, Hari Suwandi in Padang Tuesday said that in addition to being part of a series of events to commemorate the 148th HBT and the celebration of the New Year, the Sipasan tradition is also to preserve ancestral tradition for the younger generation. Hari explained that the Sipasan tradition has existed for hundreds of years and continues to be maintained by the Chinese ethnic community, especially in Padang City. Every time it is held, Chinese people from various cities come on purpose to enliven it. One of the meanings contained in this culture is the attitude of tolerance and cooperation among the very diverse communities in West Sumatra. This is because these traditions is not only followed by Chinese citizens, but also by the indigenous Minangkabau ethnic citizens. In this tradition, HBT administrators parade children aged 3 to 10 years using wooden mounts and decorated with typical Chinese ethnic knickknacks. In this parade, HBT administrators also display 2 white and red barongsai or lion dances accompanied by typical Chinese music. That was news from across Indonesia.
Oh.
start today in history with an event from January 4, 1946, when the first Indonesian President Sukarno and his entourage arrived in Yogyakarta. President Sukarno and his group arrived by train as part of the relocation of Indonesia's capital from Jakarta to Yogyakarta. At that time, Jakarta was no longer safe, having been occupied by the Dutch. On January 3, 1946, President Sukarno held a cabinet meeting to discuss the plan to move the capital. With the approval of Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX and Sri Pakualam VIII, the decision was made to relocate to Yogyakarta. In the early hours of January 4, 1946, Sukarno and his entourage left for Yogyakarta by train, as the railway routes were among the few relatively safe options. The journey followed the route from Pegangsaan Timur to Manggarai, Jatinegara, Bekasi, Cikampek, Cirebon, Purwokerto, Kroya, Kutuarjo, and finally Yogyakarta. Next, we move to January 4, 1948, about Myanmar's independence. The British-Burmese Wars from 1824 to 1885 led to Myanmar falling under British colonial rule. By 1886, Myanmar had been made a province of India by the British. However, resistance against British rule persisted, including the rise of a nationalist movement called the General Council of Burmese Associations, which adopted a non-cooperative stance against the British. Finally, on January 4, 1948, Myanmar officially gained independence from Britain. Today, this date is celebrated annually as Myanmar's Independence Day. Finally, I'll end with January 4th about the World Braille Day. World Braille Day is celebrated every year on January 4th to raise awareness about the importance of Braille as a means of communication and a vital tool for ensuring the human rights of blind or visually impaired individuals. The history of this commemoration dates back to 2006, when the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities highlighted the importance of Braille in promoting education, freedom of expression, access to information, and social inclusion for the visually impaired. Louis Braille's invention has been invaluable to blind individuals worldwide. In recognition of this, the United Nations General Assembly declared January 4th as World Braille Day in November 2018. The date was chosen to honor the birthday of Louis Braille. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock, yeah. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You can be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you go find yourself. You can run the mile, you can walk straight through hell with a smile. You could be the hero, you could get the gold. Breaking over records if I never could be broke. Yeah, do it for your people, do it for your pride. Never gonna know, never even try. Do it for your country, do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're dead.
cannot be champion.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is entitled Minister of Finance Optimistic that Indonesia's State Budget is Strong. Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati conveyed the government's optimism towards the Indonesian economy at the opening of trading at the Indonesia Stock Exchange in 2025, Thursday, January the 2nd in Jakarta. In her speech, the minister highlighted the achievements of the 2024 state budget, which successfully supported economic stability and public welfare amid global challenges. She explained state revenues in the second semester of 2024 began to recover after major pressure at the beginning of the year. She added that government spending was able to mitigate the economic impact, especially through support for elections, development of Indonesia's new capital Nusantara, and handling of El Nino. Sri Mulyani Indrawati emphasized the importance of synergy between institutions including Bank Indonesia, the Financial Services Authority, and the Deposit Guarantee Institution to maintain economic stability. On that occasion, she invited all parties to maintain a positive spirit at the beginning of the year. According to her, with synergy and joint determination, Indonesia will be able to manage the country's wealth for the welfare of all people. Sri Mulyani Indrawati stated that capital market education and literacy for the wider community needs to be continuously improved, considering that the community participating in the stock market or stock exchange is still relatively small. She explained, currently, knowledge about capital market should have been provided not only at the college level, but also at the elementary school level, so that young people are increasingly familiar with the stock exchange. On the other hand, the minister also encouraged the existence of investment instruments that are much more affordable for the lower class so that they can participate. She assessed, when the community has begun to diversify savings and create capital market deepening, she reminded market players and other stakeholders to also monitor and ensure that the shares traded are healthy shares. The Minister of Finance statement was also supported by the Director of Development of the Indonesia Stock Exchange, Jeffrey Henry. He said literacy and education related to capital markets are important to be given to the young age group in order to create a shift from a saving society to an investment society. According to Jeffrey Hendrick, literacy and education can start from elementary school and continue to high school. That was my Indonesia today.
Muka itu ada di sana yang ku tinggalkan saat kita masih bersama. Bye.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder. Listeners, the names of islands in Kepulauan Seribu, North Jakarta, can sometimes sound strange to us. One of these is Payung Island, a small island located between Tidung Island and Pari Island. It has about 40 households and is administratively part of Tidung Island Village in South Kepulauan Seribu Subdistrict. Listener, to reach Payung Island, tourists can take a ferry which takes about 2.5 to 4 hours depending on the weather and sea conditions. If you take a speed boat, the travel time is much shorter. Once you step off the boat, you can head to the local community area, which also serves as a public space on Payung Island. Listeners, Payung Island is also a popular spot for shallow diving. Activities like snorkeling and banana boating here can even extend to nearby Tidung Island. That's why it's not surprised that Payung Island attracts so many visitors. One of the island's most famous attractions is its beautiful beach and pristine underwater scenery. Even though the sea is shallow, the calm wave and clear water make it a perfect spot for snorkeling enthusiasts. Additionally, the island has a large camping area by the beach, ideal for enjoying a romantic evening under the stars. The island's natural beauty and friendly locals make any vacation here feel truly special. So listeners, if you are visiting or planning a trip to Indonesia, especially in Jakarta, make sure to add Payung Island in Kepulauan Seribu to your itinerary. That's today's Indonesian Wonder.
you have the guts to say, I don't love you like I loved you yesterday.
You are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you Miscellany. VOI listener, welcome back to the weekend edition of Miscellany. This time, we inform you about students from Al-Izhar High School, Pondok Labu, Jakarta, and Lab School, Cibubur High School, Indonesia, who win platinum and gold prizes in the 2024 Asian Student Exchange Program in Kaohsiung, Taiwan. With the main theme of Net Zero Green Living, students from the two schools brought an important message about an environmentally friendly lifestyle through a theatrical presentation entitled Net Zero Green Lifestyle. The achievements of these Indonesian students cannot be separated from collaboration between Indonesian and Taiwanese students. The 2024 Asian Student Exchange Program itself is not only an arena for competition, but also an opportunity to strengthen cross-cultural relations. While in Taiwan, Lab School students collaborated with students from Xiaogang, Taiwan, to perform Angklung traditional musical instrument from Indonesia and make presentation in English. Meanwhile, Al-Izhar High School collaborated with students from Chungshan High School, Taiwan. They designed a project that raised the global issue of the impact of fast fashion on carbon emissions while encouraging the implementation of eco-friendly fashion. This hard work was realized in a creative and meaningful theatrical performance depicting real challenges and innovative solutions in achieving environmental sustainability. Listeners, the 2024 Asian Student Exchange Program competition took place on December 23rd to the 27th, 2024 in Kaohsiung, Taiwan, and was attended by 50 teams from 500 participants from various Asian countries. In addition to being a competition forum, this program was also designed to encourage cultural exchange and strengthen cooperation between the younger generation. This achievement shows once again that Indonesian youth are able to shine on the world stage, not only through competition, but also in voicing positive change for the future. The spirit of cross-cultural collaboration and dedication to the environment that the students showed is an inspiration to all of us. Well, listeners, that's today's Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia. Thank you. Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App and Shortwave Frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in this edition of Music Corner, we present a keroncong song entitled Keroncong Perpisahan or Farewell Keroncong by the keroncong group The Gilas Cover. The song, created and popularized by the music group Day Afternoon, was released in 2011. The song describes a couple who decide to no longer date but want to get married. They hope to have a happy little family. The message conveyed is about commitment and happiness in living life together without going through a long courtship process first. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song Keroncong Perpisahan by the keroncong group The Gilas Cover. Happy listening.
Bersama berharap. merasa jarang lain, langsung menikah saja.
Terima kasih.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcasts in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you so much for listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at @voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.
Voice of Indonesia 的华语节目。本台播送来自印度尼西亚的新闻、信息和娱乐。您能每天通过短波频率33.25GHz和47.55GHz。本台的网站 www.voinews.id/mandarin 的流媒体直播以及 RRE Digital 应用程序收听本台的节目 Voice of Indonesia 从印度尼西亚名